Well, we're going to get started. I pastor at Trinity Church, and I was a part of an urban leadership program. And Coach P, as I know her, was our liaison. She was the one who was over our group of people here in St. Louis. She's been involved with DeVos,
DeVoli.
And is a person who is a high-level leader, has been involved in a lot of different things. And so I'm excited for you to hear from her today. So if you would welcome Coach P.
Thank you. Well, first of all, welcome. I'm so excited that you chose to be with us this afternoon. So I'm going to challenge you. You're not going to fall asleep on this session. Okay. I can tell you already, it's going to be very interactive. And so one of the things that I know is that, as Kyle mentioned, let me just start with introductions before I just tell you who I really am. So my name is Pam Harris. I am from Kansas City, Kansas. I am a minister's wife. I am a mother of one 17-year-old. Y'all pray for me. My husband, who is Dr. Harris, is in the back of the room, who drove me down here from Kansas City. So I'm just excited to be with you. I've been a part of the DeVos Urban Leadership since 2008. I was a graduate of the program, and so we hope to bring it back in a year. And I didn't even tell Kyle that. So it'll be coming back to St. Louis. So if you're interested in learning more about it, I will be sharing that with you. But I want to first of all say, this workshop is really about resources. It's about how do you leverage what you already have. And so I entitled it The Power of Leverage, What Giant Stone is Standing in Our Way. So we're just going to jump start. But before I do that, I just wanted to give you a quick outline of the DeVos Urban Leadership Program so that you can just know a little bit about the framework of what it is. So it's a 15-month leadership training program that seeks to come alongside of the urban youth leader. And urban youth leaders are introduced to state-of-the-art faith-based learning opportunities. So Pastor Kyle was one of the ones who went through it. And I think he would say that it was very beneficial, because what we try to do is open up the eyes to understanding, because most of the time in urban youth leadership, you get tired, you get burnout. There's a lot of things that come into play. So as a program, we really wanted to equip urban youth workers with the right tools in order to continue in ministry and not burn out in ministry. Does that make sense? Okay, so the participants are from 5 different cities, and typically we select 10 to 12 participants to go through the initiative. They're introduced to 5 core values, which are our pillars. And the 5 core values are balance, accountability, interdependence, leverage, and empowerment. So one of the things that we really spend a lot of time on is leverage, and that's what this particular session is about. We hope that by them going through this, they'll stay in ministry longer and then really be equipped with the tools that they need to carry out ministry. Okay, so why are you here today? That's what we're going to talk about. Okay, my goal is for you to leave this session with a clear understanding of what leverage is and how you can apply it to your ministry and areas of your personal life. Also, understanding the power and value of leverage. We want to talk about how do we mobilize individuals in the ministry for greater impact. And then we want you to think about your existing partnerships and your circle of influence, that everybody in this room has a circle of influence. And then we want to talk about introspection, where you are and how do you want the greatest impact to be in your life or in your ministry. And then we're going to see how leverage can bless and enhance your ministry. Okay? So those are the goals that we're going to go through today. And so I'm going to start with this question. In ministry and in life, what possible big rocks stand in our way of getting what we need and what we want? So again, I told you, we're going to be interacting. So when you think about those, what possible big rocks stand in our way? Kay, you mentioned one to me before we got started.
So
yes.
Myself.
Yourself. Yourself.
My doubt that I could do it.
Absolutely.
Or that I got the time.
Mm-hmm.
Myself is a big.
Yeah, is a big barrier. Okay. Kay said self too. Any other things? Any other things you think about? Yes?
Funding.
Funding. Money. Resources. Capital, right? Absolutely. connections. Who do I connect with? How do I connect with them? Who do I know? Absolutely. So you guys have your thinking caps on already. So ourselves, our own way of thinking. What about our weaknesses? Do we really spend time looking at what we're weak about? Procrastination, fear, busyness, interruptions. But I bolded this because time, right? A lot of times we can be so busy in ministry and in life that we don't take the time to see who's around me that can truly help me, okay? So I want to spend some time talking about leverage. So leverage is the ability to influence situations or people so that you can guide and not control impact, okay? Because so many times in ministry, and I wanted to ask, how many are in a church ministry? Well, okay, let's say paid church ministry. Okay, we have a couple. And how many is that funny thing? Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. Yes. So what about just church ministry, paid church ministry? Okay, what about ministry, just ministry, volunteering in ministries?
My husband and I, we do the teen ministry.
Teen ministry. Okay, and how many just organizations? How many's maybe not affiliated? That too, in the back. Okay, wonderful. Now I kind of have an idea now. So when we talk about influence and we talk about people and we talk about guiding and not controlling, how many of us got to have our hands on everything? Okay, we got to honest. We have two or three people that are honest, right? Why is it? Why do you do that? Curious. Inquiring minds want to know. Oh, now we're like, wasn't me. Control, control. What is it about? What is the fear?
Just gonna make sure it's getting done right.
Okay, so the fear is that it's not going to get done the way you want it to be done, right?
It is not getting done if you don't have the experience.
Okay, say that one more time.
Experience of it not having had the experience of it not getting done if you don't have
it. Oh, that it falling through the cracks, right? Wow. Okay. Leverage is about choosing small actions that have a large impact, right? So you guys just talked about why you can't relinquish some of your power, but let me tell you, sometimes power is our enemy. Sometimes power is our enemy. Because if it's not the way we want to do it, it's not the way we have to put our people around it. What are you missing that's bigger than your thinking? All of us in here believe that there is a God, correct? And how many times do we not truly focus that God is our source? He is going to give me what I need. I don't have to always put my hands in it to control it. We're going to talk about this a little bit more. Okay, so these are some questions that I want you to ponder. How do we begin to understand the power and value of leverage? I want you to think about this. How do we begin to mobilize people of faith to carry out our mission, our goals, or purpose? How do we partner with schools differently, people differently, communities differently? What are the small actions that can yield big results in life and in ministry? So from a biblical perspective, it says a single seed can multiply and bring forth fruit. Multiply seeds, much fruit. What are we missing? If we know that one single seed can multiply and many seeds can really multiply, why aren't we thinking like that? What's standing in our way of realizing the potential that we possess? Everyone here today has a need, am I correct? We have a need in our ministries, we have a need when it comes to parachurches, organizations, and in life. And these three things right here are the answers to our problems. Resources, capacity, and strategy. Y'all look real serious. So one of another guiding scripture is John 12:22. Verily, truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. What's the parable in this scripture? You gotta let it go. What other things do you see in that scripture? Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. How many of us, go right ahead.
Death brings forth life.
Ooh, death brings forth life, right? How many times do we try to control things? And sometimes it's better if we let it go so that we can reinvent it, restructure it, redevelop it, right? We talk about what COVID has done to our churches and our communities. There are churches that never changed over to technology. What do they look like now? Or did they lose people? Absolutely, because there was no connections any longer, right? So one of the things that we have to realize is sometimes in God's universe, He is trying to say, I'm ready to do a new thing. I'm ready to give you what you need, but I need you to let this die so that I can rebuild it. Because when He rebuilds it, We can't even compare anything to it. Make sense? Three key words I want you guys to remember this afternoon. People, goods, and services. People, goods, and services. We need all of them. Do you have one that you feel like is more powerful than the other? People. You say people, okay? Okay. All of the people, goods, and services are all connected. You have to rely on each one of these in order to move forward. Connecting, making space, welcoming opportunities. If we are not connecting with people, if we are not making space for opportunities, and if we are, if we are not making space in general in our ministries and in our life, and if we are not welcoming opportunities, then leverage doesn't exist. Leverage is about taking what is around you that you may not even have thought about and making that work in a positive, influential way. Tell you guys true story. I've been praying about this and saying, okay, God, what direction would you like me to go? And in the middle of the night, 2:30 in the morning, He said, help. And I'm like, help? Then He gave me this. Because how many times in ministry is it hard for us to ask for help? Why don't we ask for help when we're struggling? Why is it so hard that we get in our own space and in our own thinking, and we call it in Davuli, we call it our own little box. We put ourselves in this box and we have our own little pity parties. And we're sinking. You're laughing. I'm resignating, right? We're sinking. We're falling. We don't know what to do. Kids aren't coming to church. Parents aren't bringing them to church. People are choosing to worship online, which is okay if you can't get out, right? But at the same time, we're trying to figure all of this out ourselves when all we have to do is ask for help, right? Help humbling ourselves. And I know sometimes, look, I have some senior pastors in the room. Sometimes pastors don't want to be told what to do. But guess what? They need a support system. Kyle was just telling me the sabbatical he and his wife went on. You have to step away from ministry sometimes because it will eat you up. And if you're not healthy and whole yourself, you can't be your authentic, true self because you're tired. I'm preaching to the choir, okay? But we have to humble ourselves. We have to engage with others and not think we have all of the ideas because we don't. Leveraging our already existing relationships. So Kay has a circle of friends that ride motorcycles. I say Kay because she and I talked a long time before our session started. So she was telling me she has a group of people that she, you know, that might not have been the circle she was supposed to be in, but she was in the circle. Is that a circle of influence? Can Kay be a circle of influence for a motorcycle club? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are young women that like to use this as an example, shop, right? So in ministries, we have to cater to young people and what they like to do. Maybe it's not shopping. Maybe it's spending time on their phone. We all have teenagers. How many have teenagers? Okay, anybody got a 17-year-old? Okay. Kyle, you guys know, right? Okay, so it is important for us to leverage already existing relationships. So if Kay knows a motorcycle club and we have kids interested in learning about motorcycles, can we not merge those two together? What's the fear factor in that? Remember, we talked about fear. What is the fear? We have a group of kids that are like, I would love to learn about motorcycles. Kay has a group that ride and know everything about it. Can we leverage those two groups together? Or would most people look at that and say, oh no, we don't want that kind of influence on our kids? Are we looking through biases when we do that? Because think about it. We might in our minds have how we see motorcycle clubs, and we don't want to expose our kids to that. But let's look at the glass half full. What can kids typically learn by that exposure? I'm getting y'all to think, right? Because so many times it's going to be, and this is the thing, the motorcycle club could be your resources to raise money to be able to teach motorcycle skills to this group of kids. But because it doesn't line with our perspectives, we don't even put the two together. Because why would you? Make sense? Prayer. I put ER in big caps because if we don't get our prayer lives together, we all gonna end up in ER, okay? Yeah. Life is crazy right now, right? So before we do anything, it is so important for us to pray and ask God for his guidance as we step into this unfamiliar territory, okay? Alrighty, you're gonna do some interactions. What would it take to move this big rock? Just throw out some stuff. A lever? Okay.
Explosive.
Say that one more time.
Explosives.
Ooh-wee. Okay.
A hill that it can roll down.
Okay. Remember, that's a boulder, right? That's huge. You're just trying to move this rock so that you can see the beauty behind the rock. What are you going to need to do that?
Sometimes it feels like a miracle.
You're going to need a miracle. Ooh. Can I take you back to those three things we talked about before we hit this slide?
A really big truck.
We're going to need people. Right? This is a lot of times, you guys, we think we have to solve this ourselves. We're in this box of, okay, I know what I have to do. How am I going to do it? When there may be people all around the rock, we're not even seeing them. But capacity is all of us together intentionally doing the same thing, right? So all of us leveraging our resources, our strength. Do you think all of us in this room could push that over? Oh, I have some stuff that says nope, still can't do it. Still can't do it, right? Okay, now, go with me. Shift our thinking. So then what would it take to move the big rocks in your ministries? Think about this. They're the same. One is just, I'm looking at it physically and I'm trying to come up with a plan to move it so that I could get to the other side. And when we look at ourselves in ministry and what we're trying to leverage, right? Let me just ask this really quickly and then I'll get to my point. What is your greatest need right now in your ministry or in your life or in your organizations? Give me, just throw some things out. What's your greatest need?
So,
besides, we heard resources, money.
So I don't have ministries per se within the church, but I know that ministry can work as well and as be as needed outside the church. So mine is imagination and creativity.
Imagination and creativity is a need.
And vision.
Yes, we're going to talk about that. Yes. When we look at our ministry, so many times I hear people saying, I don't have the money. I don't have the resources. We don't have the people. But this is what we're doing. I don't have the resources, and we're calling our friends, and how do I get there? What do I need to do? When you begin to engage with other like-minded people and thoughts, you can figure this out together. That's why this workshop, it's not, I don't have all of the answers. The answers lie within every one of you. It's, what is it? We sometimes are afraid to step out of fear. We're sometimes afraid to go into the unknown because we don't know if it's going to work or not. And that goes back to our control of us trying not to let it go. Sometimes God is asking us to be uncomfortable. Sometimes he's saying, I need you to trust me. And if he owns everything, you guys, he owns it all. Why are we so fearful of not to step out and take him at his word? That's where we are. That's sometimes why we don't have the resources, because he's trying to test you to see if you're going to be faithful and truly trust him. Make sense? Okay, so leverage in ministry comes through leadership when we use our influence to engage others in our cause. Let me say that again. Leverage in ministry and in life and in whatever you touch comes through when we use our influence to engage others in our cause. How many have ever tried to fundraise for anything? Okay, what did it take to get people bought into your cause? A lot of engaging, a lot of begging, right? What else? It's your cause. This is near and dear to your heart. You have to be contagious, right? Because if you don't believe in it, who else is going to believe in it, right? But your cause goes greater, right? My father was a military guy, over 25 years in the U.S. Army, right? His cause was to fight for his country. That was his cause, right? Can you make a person have a cause and believe in a cause? You can't. When it touches your life, that's when it blows up and makes the biggest difference. Some of us in here probably have lost people to cancer, and now you are the banner raiser, right, for that, because it's a cause that speaks to your heart. But I'm going to challenge you. Our kids need to be a cause. Our churches need to be a cause. When we touch things that mean something to us, we change. We transform it. It will never look the same again because we're championing a cause. Still with me? Okay. So this is DeVuli. The DeVos Urban Leadership believes that defines leverage as effective leaders know how to use positive potential of change, knowing that seemingly small actions can have significant impact. Leaders must seek out strategic opportunities to create healthy, sustainable change. And I know that's a lot of words, but I want you to focus in on strategic, significant change. When we go and we need something to leverage, when we are out of resources, we don't have the people we need, we don't have the capacity, we have to realize that there is a strategy to this. Okay? And it's not a brain stalker, brain scientist knowledge, right? Who's in your circle? Let me just ask, tell me your name.
Matt.
What's your line of business? What do you do? A teacher. Wow. Matt, so in the teacher's world, you guys hardly have money in school districts. And most of the times I hear that teachers have to out of pocket in order to even get ready for school sometimes, right? Depending on your level. How can you as a teacher leverage resources? What is already in your circle of influence?
Parents.
I used to work in a school district as an admin. One of the things I talked to, all of these principals, and the principals would say, Pam, I don't want parents in my school. And I would question them, why not? They said, just bring me the kids. I want to just teach them. I don't care about the parents. What is the problem with that? When you think about leverage, I have the kids, but I don't want the parents. Do you know that there are parents that may be bank presidents? There are parents that may have every resource you need. And when we choose to separate them or not to bring them into our circle, the resources are there. But we wanna, I don't need them. It is so important for us to think out of the box because our resources are right in our communities and we don't even wanna tap into them. Importantly, ministry and other personal and interpersonal life, leverage can be used to increase our impact. So small group discussion really quickly. I want to identify barriers in ministries that has prevented you from leveraging resources. When you think about the barriers that you've had to overcome, what are some of those? What are the barriers to leveraging resources?
Attitudes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Ooh, wow. Not knowing what you need or where to find it. Can I ask a question? When you talk about not knowing what you need, where is that spinning from?
Okay, so right now my big ministry, my big project is starting an online church. And I think my instinct says that I need to be able to leverage social media. I need to be able to figure out how to just use that well. And I guess that means I know what I need. I don't know. There's pieces to that I don't know. You know, what are the mediums that I need? I know that Facebook is popular. I know IG is popular. But I don't know what all is out there. I don't know what all people are doing. And then the other part of that is, now that if I figure that out, how do I do it? Where I can go in a million different places to find information. What's the good information? Who has the good information? Who has the good strategies for me to start working on?
How many people in this room, anybody in this room in IT or social media platforms? Really? Not one. Nobody posts to Facebook.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
But wait. How many posts to Instagram? Or how many communicate in Instagram? We got some TikTok users? So let me tell you, what you just said is, I don't know how to do it, right?
Correct.
When we open up, I don't know how, and you are in settings like this, or settings like a coffee shop, or settings, what begins to happen is that you saying, I don't know. Typically, people are like, well, I know how to do that. Let me show you how to do that. And there is your resource. They might not have all of the parts that you need, but they're guiding you and directing you. Because at the end of the day, God knows the desires of your heart. And he knows what you want. And a lot of times he will put people in your circles. You just have to know when to ask, right? So I know Kyle, he stepped out, he's not here. Kyle is all into social media, right? That is what he does. So we're gonna connect you to and just have him help you to create a plan, or just, this is what I would do. And that's what we have to do in ministry. Don't be afraid to speak what it is you need. Okay, even if you don't know how to do it. Everybody with me?
Yes.
All righty. So, really quickly, I need 9 volunteers. I need 9 volunteers because I have 9 feathers. All right, Kay, you know I'm pulling you up here. Kay, come on, don't play. Okay, here you go. Okay. Yeah, come up here.
Hello.
Okay, I still have 4 more bodies. I need 4 more people. Awesome. Okay. Look, we're clearing out the whole class. One more.
Oh, and Kyle.
Kyle. Kyle, perfect timing, perfect timing, perfect timing. Okay, so we're talking about leverage. We're talking about leverage, and each of these amazing individuals have a peacock feather, okay? So what I want you to do with your peacock feather is to place it in the middle palm of your hand, and I want you to try to keep it up in the air. I want you to try to balance it. I want you to take it.
One end.
However you want to do it. However you want to do it. And I want you to just move around and see if you can balance that in your hand. Kyle, you got to move.
Oh, I thought you said.
Nope, you have to move around and see if you can keep it up in the air. Oh, I see some. Okay, okay. Okay. So sometimes when we're talking about leverage and leveraging, we are looking at the wrong thing. I saw Kay and Kyle tried it. Why is it that we are looking at the base of our peacock to try to balance it when our resource comes from above? So now I want you guys to do it again and look at the center of your peacock, the blue circle at the top of your peacock. Put it in the middle of your hand and follow it. So what you guys begin to see is that when you have an upward focus, your focus sometimes in your ministry and in life is at the wrong thing. We're focusing at the base instead of at the top, where first of all, God owns it all, right? He wants you to look up and focus in on him. Then you can move and manipulate wherever you need to go because your eyes are focused on the right thing. But sometimes kids not having resources, poor, the list goes on and on and on because we are looking at the base of something where God is saying, look up because I am the resource. Focus in on me at the top and everything else will work itself out. So when you have this and you're looking at it and you're wondering why nothing is working for you. Now I could keep it up for a little bit, I think the air, but eventually it's going to fall down. But most of the times what you will see is when you focus in on the top, I can go wherever it's taking me, except for the chairs, I don't want to fall, right? But I am focusing in That way, every move it takes, I'm right with it, because I am focusing in on what it is God is trying to do with me and where He's trying to lead me. But so many times what we find is that we focus on the base, and if it falls over, oh my gosh, I gotta start over.
Good point.
Oh my gosh, I don't know why it's not working for me. Because we're not focused on the right thing. Make sense?
Yes.
You guys can have those.
Good illustration. Oh. That was a good one.
Yes. You can have those.
Okay.
Now let me tell you this. In ministry, as we try to leverage our relationships and our resources, there are going to be pitfalls. What are some of the pitfalls that we experience in ministry?
Burnout.
Absolutely. What else? We feel let down. The pandemic just, that's a whole nother workshop, right? The pitfalls in ministry is that sometimes we can be so pompous and so arrogant, and we don't ask for help, and we will never get what that was intentionally ours to receive. But it's only when we focus on what's important. Remember, there were some words that I told you guys about? Strategic, right? What is it right now that is my most urgent need in my ministry or in my life? And how do I get there? We have to spend some time in prayer with God and let Him guide us. Because if not, I think the Bible says that sometimes we're tossed away with every kind of wind of doctrine because we're not grounded in truth. So we have to make sure that we realize that in ministry, in life, there are going to be pitfalls, but we have to begin to focus our eyes on the right things. That's the only way we can maneuver. The right things, okay? I don't know how much time we have, Kyle. You might have 20 minutes. Okay, so what I would like for you guys to do is spend some time just in small groups talking about these questions. So the first is your church, parachurch, or organization open or closed to collaboration? Okay? Two, what barriers do you see or have in your church or ministry that must be addressed before collaboration can take place? Is your church, parachurch, or organization open to a new way of thinking? Because one of the things that I want to tell you is that in leveraging, if your answer is no to any of these questions, then we have to think strategically about a new way of engaging with it, what it is we want and what it is we need. Okay, so just spend a few minutes in your groups talking about, is your church open? And actually, can you guys group together right here? And then you guys can talk. You can group however you like. But I just want you to begin to have some conversation. Again, is your church, parachurch, open or closed to collaborations? What barriers do you see or have in your church or ministry that must be addressed before collaboration can take place? And then, new way of thinking. Okay.
So,
I don't know.
Artrell.
Come join our group.
I want.
Come join.
Good.
Good. Good. Thank you.
We need to get him.
Yeah.
But do you want to get involved too?
Oh yeah, I'm listening. Yeah. Yeah.
Letting go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
You're getting away from some work. Yeah, you're getting away from some work here. Yeah. I will be invited. Yeah, just don't do it.
That was my biggest thing, was overcoming my own self. The need of
self. You were mentioning the barriers currently. The river between Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go there. It's the same way here, St. Charles County and St. Louis County. I live in St. Charles County. But people who talk to this, oh, I never go over there anymore.
Yeah.
Me? I never go into the city.
Yeah.
First of all, there's nothing, well, there are things that I wanted to do down there, but it's like, oh, it's so fun.
Yes.
It's not that either side's a bad
side. No, it's just like it's out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with those streets. Mm-hmm. I don't know where to go to if something breaks down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A million years ago, I went to see an uncle and aunt who lived in the Baltimore area. And we pulled off the highway and I got on the phone. I called them. I said, I'm in town. How do I get to your place? They lived in Dundalk. And they said, where are you? I said, well, the sign across the street says University of Baltimore. He said, oh my God, get out of there. I've been down there 20 years. He lived right there. But he'd never been in that area.
Wow.
You get a picture that you can't cross that line.
That's it. Yeah.
You know?
Or that they don't talk to each other, meaning just like the motorcycle analogy, right? We have an image that motorcycle groups are violent or loud or boisterous or whatever, but can they not teach kids something? You know, can they not teach kids something?
It depends on the group.
Yeah, yeah.
You definitely have to do your homework.
But right. We definitely have to do it. But in the same thing, not even the whole group, but two or three people that are like, I love kids. Let me help.
Christian Motorcycle Group, Christian Fellowship, or you don't want CMA, you don't want 1%ers, so you might want a Buffalo Soldiers group. Because I ride with those guys.
Do you really?
Yeah, but you don't want a 1%er. You don't want Hell's Angels or Sons of Disciples of the Satan.
Those guys are there.
Because we're motorcycle enthusiasts, right? And I even get stereotyped, oh, you're a pastor. What are you doing riding with those? Hey, man. Like 10 people at your church to ride. Did you not see that?
Yeah.
You know, it is this aura. It's no different than, okay, having what you're in tennis shoes. Oh, my goodness. You're from the urban core, and you're, oh, Lord. You know,
great.
You know, but I'm just saying, stay away from the one percenter groups.
Yeah.
Maybe bringing the CMA if you with that amount.
It's like, you know, if you wanted to teach a kid how to butcher a deer that you caught, you probably wouldn't go to the prisons to get guys who were in there for killing somebody with a knife to do the job.
Right.
You know, you're gonna
it's about leveraging the right relationships.
Yeah.
That's the key. That's the key. Yeah.
Motorcycle groups or motorcycle enthusiasts.
Right. Not everybody. No, no, no. Yeah.
For example, when you see a large mass of people going down the road on bikes, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And those people need to be in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to fund somebody's cancer treatments. It's going to help some kids that was a bad car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
It's there to help numerous amount of food banks and everything else. It's their fundraisers.
Yeah. But Kay, it's no different than, you know, if you want a group of kids to help build a house, right? And you look for resources of who's already doing it where the kids can learn how to do that. And you're just matching those leveraged resources together so that it's not all out of your pocket. Or it may not, you might not have to pay anything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't know pretty quick.
Okay, guys, let's circle back. Let's circle back. Let's circle back together. I know I looked at the clock and there's 10 minutes left. So, sorry, I know somebody's still talking. Sorry to interrupt. So sorry. So sorry. Look, I'm like running out of time. So what did we come up with? So for the first question, anybody want to share out? First of all, is your church open or closed to collaboration? What were some of the answers to that?
Okay.
Open, open, perfect. Any closed? I'm just curious. No? Okay, good. And then what barriers do you see or have in your church or ministry that must be addressed before collaboration can take place? I see some faces.
Just getting the churches to talk to each other.
Communication across churches. Just getting communication to talk. Yeah. Yeah. One of the things, let me just say real quick, I needed to clear up, is that I wasn't saying that any motorcycle club is good to connect kids to. Do your research. Do your research, right? Do your research. And it doesn't even have to be the motorcycle club. Maybe two or three people that love kids and might want to do that. Okay? I just didn't want to. I need to clear that up. Okay? All righty. Barriers. Any barriers to collaboration?
Well, we have a nonprofit as an option of our church.
Okay.
So we were, you know, kind of the thing that can be challenging. We're way really open to collaboration because they have resources we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But the challenge can be, are we all going in the same direction? Do we have the same
vision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can be a barrier.
It can be. Absolutely. Absolutely it can be. Oh, I don't even want to go down that. But I see it. Yes.
That can be a collaboration. I think when I think collaboration, I think like churches in the community who not necessarily all Nazarene aren't necessarily mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that there aren't things that we can't collaborate.
Yes.
The differences hinder what we can accomplish together.
I love the way you said that. Because when we collaborate, let's say everybody in here puts $5 in a pot. My little $5 didn't go far, but together, collectively, wow. And it's sometimes, it's that fear factor. Well, I don't want to put money in because I don't know where it's really being used for. Do we take that stance or do we really rely on God to work it out? You know, so I love what you guys talked about. Any other thoughts to barriers? And I move quickly. What about new ways of thinking? Is our churches or ministries, are we about new ways of thinking?
I like what she said, you know, just
getting together with other churches that are not necessarily your denomination, but are churches in your community. And we were talking about youth events, you know? Do youth events together, bowling, basketball, you know, or, you know, whatever, just getting some kids together, you know, that way there's more options for kids that are church kids to get together. You know, and bring kids that are not in church.
Yeah. Absolutely. And this is the thing, is that sometimes in our way of thinking, our denominations or non-denominations operate in this silo, just our kids, just our kids. But if they have friends, their friends come, right? Sometimes we have to, somebody said blow up the rock earlier, or just, you know, make it explode it, right? Just blow it up. Sometimes in ministries, we need to do just that so that we can truly get to the essence of being God's people, right? Because at the end of the day, when all of us stand in line and we're trying to get to heaven, it's not going to be Pam, you stand over there, Kay, you stand over there, Kyle, you over So why is it so hard for us to realize that together, collectively, people bring strengths to the table? People bring resources to the table. So we can't be afraid to meet and touch and cross over into unforeign territory, because there could be a blessing over there just waiting on you.
Mm-hmm. I also think that as, you know, part of our nonprofit, we try to look at, like, how do we collaborate with our community? We live, work here, so, you know, we are the community, but then also there's parts of the community that I don't have the same experience, and, you know, I work in a school, so it's kind of perfect opportunity for us in there. But, you know, one thing that we've done recently in the last few years is rather than do like a school drive, like supply drive, and hand out and, like, do a big festival or whatever for kids, we collect it, and then Kyle calls me when it's ready, and I come pick it up, and we have another teacher that comes in, and they have it available for teachers. Mm-hmm. But that's like a different way of thinking about how to do. I mean, that's something little, but knowing who you're trying to serve, knowing what they need, knowing the culture, that's so important. And I think sometimes we get into the, like, we are here to help you versus, like, the savior mentality versus the, like, collaborating with your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what, you are so on point. So I was the director of parent engagement for an urban school district in Kansas City. And one of the things that I found is I would hear people say, oh, those little poor kids, oh, those little poor families. Oh, that if you ask those poor kids and poor families to bring a package of pencils, your classroom would be overflowing. Because no one has asked them, because they don't think they have. They are grateful to give, even out of their poverty. But in our mindset, we're like, oh, we don't want to ask them. They're already struggling. Include them. Because when you include them, you empower them. And you change their way of thinking about their circumstances. And you should see, I mean, when I did this in schools, there were kids hopping in and the box just kept flowing. And I had so many parents to say, Miss Pam, thank you. Thank you for not isolating me. And so we have to think out of the box and do a better job of including people, even changing our mindset. I'm going to just leave it at that. We got to change our mindset. I am going to go quickly through this because I think I have like 5 minutes left, and I want to spend some time on questions. What does the Lord want to leverage in your life for His glory? Is it your business so that it can become a conduit for doing good for God? Is it your church so that it can lay aside all earthly encumbrances and totally embrace an eternal agenda of unconditional love and service that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it your time and money so that your most valued assets can become an influential tool in the hand of the Almighty God for His kingdom agenda? Not our personal agenda, but for God's kingdom agenda. Embrace what Jesus can do. Jesus Christ can leverage one submitted life to impact thousands of lives with the transforming power of grace and truth. Romans 12 and 2, and this is one of the scriptures that guides the DeVully, DeVos Urban Leadership, is Romans 12 and 2 that says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? It changes here of how we leverage partnerships and communities and schools, right? So some of the key points is God expects that we be both faithful and fruitful in life and in ministry. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people what?
Perish.
You got to have strategy. You got to have capacity. You have to have people. You have to have a vision. And I like what you said, out of box thinking. We can no longer think this way. Include people. Ask people. Not all actions yield the same results. So if I keep going after a funder and I keep getting told no, what should I do next? I don't know if you guys have foundations. You guys have lots of foundations here, Kyle? No? Okay, so Kansas City, there's over 40 foundations, which are always giving money out, right? One of the things is that people write letters all the time. Can you support this? Can you support that? And you get, nope. How can I leverage getting money from a foundation? You guys said it earlier. If I'm always told no, I'm sending a letter.
I'm going to make it exciting. I'm going to make it my passion.
So it passes off to you. Tell me your name.
Gina.
Okay. So Gina, I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I've sent 25 letters and I keep being rejected. Regina says, let me see what you're sending. I sit down with Regina. She's like, well, no wonder you're sending this because you're not structuring it right. You're not asking for the right things. So Regina writes the letter. Boom. We got the resources. What on earth just happened? I'm frustrated. I know what I'm doing. I didn't ask for help. I did it myself. I was trying to do it myself. The resources are there. Sometimes it's different people that say it differently, right? I'm saying it the same way all the time. You're not getting it. Why are you keep rejecting my letter? You're writing it the same way. You needed a new fresh of eyes to come in and say, really? No, let me help you restructure this. Speak from the heart. And a lot of times, you guys, before you do anything, pray and ask God if it's your will. Because it may not be His will. That's why I keep getting rejected, because God's like, you're not the right person. If you partner, if I'm bringing in Kay and I'm partnering, and we sit down as a group, let's strategically write this letter together. And then let's ask for triple what you were asking. What? We just got funded. And everybody benefits from those relationships, right? But when we're closed mind, we don't see it. And God's word says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, for I know the plans I have for who?
You.
You. We, us. And if I can't get it, you can. Declares the Lord, plans to what?
Prosper
you. Y'all say this together. Plans to what?
Prosper you.
And not to harm you. Plans to give you
hope in the future.
Hope. We have to. That's what we're laying on. That's what we're. When we make choices that will make the biggest difference and have the greatest impact, right? I'm running through this. Commit thy works unto who?
The Lord.
And thy thoughts shall be
established.
We got to give it to God. God, bless this ministry. God, you know my heart. I'm trying to help kids. I'm trying to help families. I'm trying to help our communities. We have to be intentional about asking. Leverage, doing the right thing, significant and strategic actions and decisions, the right way, which is building the capacity in others and working smarter for the right reasons to make a real impact in the lives of people and in God's kingdom. Okay, I was going to do a case study. We don't have time to do that. So let me put you and give you some solutions to this whole workshop of the power of leverage. Leverage is your what?
Advantage.
A condition that puts you in a favorable position, a favorable, right? So advantage, as a child of God, do you have an advantage?
Yes.
Do we embrace the power of God that we have? Or do we question God? Woo! Sometimes, right? Lord, why are you not giving me what I'm asking? Is your heart right when you're asking? God, why is my child just going and doing whatever? I've given them to you. Have you prayed with them and for them? God, why don't I have the resources for this ministry? You know I work. I get up at 5. I don't go to bed till 11. I'm trying to do your work. Who have you asked to help you? You can't carry it by yourself. We got to remember partnerships. Key. Commit to partnerships with other churches, businesses, industries, community leaders, which are rich, what? Mutually beneficial and ever evolving. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We all have purpose. Everybody in here has a purpose. And God is waiting to explode your purpose, but you're being hard-headed and you're not listening to him. Because we think we can do it by ourselves and we can't. Agency. Commit to creating a culture where all members or individuals adopt the role of facilitator, creating opportunities for every member or individual to acquire essential skills by engaging in self-directed, deep learning experiences. Psalms 37 and 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay? Advocacy. Work to align church with the right relationships and systems that allow you to become an advocate for change and transformation. You have to be what? Intentional. And God will bless your efforts, as Mark 7 and 7 says. Okay, you guys. I rushed through that last because I don't want to hold you any longer than I have to. But I hope and pray that some of this information resonated to your spirit and your heart, and that you kind of now have a little bit of a plan to leverage what you may have been, that may have been your blind side. Okay? So many times in life, we all have blind spots. Right? And if I would have thought to bring, there was another activity that we do in Divuli, but it's a circle on a piece of paper, and the closer you get to the circle, it goes away. It disappears from the page. Those are our blind spots. In ministry, we all have blind spots. We don't see what we really need to see until we take off our old lens and put on a new pair of glasses. Then we're able to see what God wants us to see. Okay, any questions? Was this helpful?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Is there any questions I can answer for you in the last few minutes that we have? Yes.
Leveraging people that turns into something huge. There's this guy named Andrew. His one big ministry thing was he went and got his brother. Simon.
Mm-hmm.
That was his one big notation in the Bible. He went and got his brother.
I didn't even use Jesus analogy. That'll take us a whole nother class, right? Absolutely.
He just
absolutely
what he knew.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Brought in someone
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
And the whole thing just went
yeah.
from there.
Yeah. Moses, powerful leader. He would always say, Lord, I can't speak. Excuses, right? Let me bring your brother. He will talk for you.
Okay.
We got this thing. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate you for being here. Thank you.